You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
I'm getting around a little bit slowly today. Tom and I are pretty sore after moving this past week. And at one point after the movers left Naperville, Aurora, I had that, I used to think it was an old person problem. I can't imagine that I'm an old person, but maybe. That thing where you stand up from the ground and you're like, oh, my back doesn't work anymore. I don't know if it's from moving boxes or just the 18 normal but terrible things that happen when you move that make it stressful, but there's no amount of percussion massage that can get my shoulders to relax down. And I think I have tennis elbow. I don't even know what that is, but it hurts when I bend my elbow on the inside of my elbow. I think that might be tennis elbow. But you know what's the most sore? And this one really hurts. My ego. It is an exercise in humility to have to preach a sermon on the spiritual practice of simplicity with the following scripture passage and how we shouldn't store up treasures on earth when one is pointedly aware of the overwhelming amount of worldly goods. So before we hear what Jesus has to say about treasure, will you pray with me? Holy God, we pray for our words, those which we speak and those that remain in our hearts. May our words be true and faithful to your word, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning is this short little gem that falls in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Hear the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thanks be to God for God's word for the church today. A few weeks back, while a team from Covenant was serving and having dinner at Triangle Communities, I was sitting with a resident who had heard me pray before dinner and asked my favorite scripture passage. And so we got to talking, and I asked him his favorite scripture passage, and he said Genesis, the creation story, I guessed. Nope, original sin. Interesting choice, and not usually a favorite Bible story for most of us. But this person reflected that it is a reminder to not want more than you've already been given. There are a lot of ways to interpret why early humanity lost their paradise with our Creator, but discontent isn't an answer that usually tops that list. My friend's insight has kept me pondering, is it sheer greed that gets in the way of our unity with God? There is some scriptural evidence for this. Our need for more getting in the way of our right relationship with God and with our neighbor. Whether the more is material or other kinds of things for which we long. Most commonly I hear about time or love or adventure, experiences, power, control. Our need for more runs counter to our hopes of building a relationship with God that is built on trust. Instead, we are called to this practice of simplicity, of contentment with less. Less stuff, less scheduling, less rigidity, and to lean into the joy of a less complicated life. This passage about treasure in heaven in Matthew is just after Jesus has a fairly lengthy teaching on prayer. He's emphasizing that we should keep prayer simple, teaching the Lord's Prayer, praying just that we would have what we need for today, our daily bread, not for forever. And to be humble, without a bunch of fanfare when we pray. It's about connection and communication with God, as we heard these past few weeks. And what comes after this passage is a closer look at why we might be storing this much stuff in the first place, a lack of trust. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus goes on to emphasize how ridiculous it is that we spend so much time worrying about these various aspects of our lives. Worrying won't even add an hour to our lives, Jesus says. And actually, now we have just a whole bunch of evidence that says worrying probably is cutting our lives much shorter than we would think. Instead, we are called to seek first the kingdom of God, to seek first love and gratitude and justice, to seek to make our time here on earth like the vision that we hope to experience when we're fully unified with God. That's what we should use our energy for, rather than worrying. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Jesus regularly teaches about the challenge of having an abundance, that it makes it hard to keep God as our priority. Instead, he models living simply, and he sends the disciples out to do ministry with nothing for the journey, not even an extra pink coat. Instead, our call is to depend entirely on God and on others, fostering that kind of trust. Living simply helps us depend more fully on Jesus because there is less distraction, there's more flexibility, and deeper joy. You know these things. You know the beauty of tidying up a space so you have greater ease in the area. We don't need a Mary Oliver poem to remind us that we can release our grip on things and then we'll find freedom. Wait, who am I kidding? We always need Mary Oliver poems to remind us. In her poem, Storage, she reflects on having the trash man take away what has been in her rented storage unit for years. And she says that suddenly she was free, like a donkey released from its burden, or like a bird that can finally fly. It's not only things that can bog us down. Our schedules are a terrible culprit for overabundance as well. Mike Frost is a modern-day missiologist, studies mission and outreach in the church, and he reflected a few years ago on the value of friendship in churches, and that in order to be better friends, we need to be less busy. Friendship takes time, and it involves play and shared experiences. It's interacting together on a committee, or laughing over a stroll, or sharing life over a Wednesday evening Lenten meal and interactive worship, where true fellowship is formed. When we're too busy to participate in less driven and more joyful and collaborative experiences, we miss out on deep and abiding friendships that sustain us in our faith journey. We miss out on being the faithful people of God, and we want to be people who are developing those relationships. Our new members were a testimony today. They frequently talked about the friendliness of the congregation and being invited to participate and the ways that we are friends with one another. That's the kind of church that we want to be, especially in these days where there is a crisis of loneliness. Simplifying our lives is not just about the stuff around us or even the stuff of our calendars. It can also be what's in our heads as well. Last week in confirmation, we were reflecting on the Good Samaritan and how the priest and the Levite just walked right past a man in need on the side of the road. And it's really easy to judge. But we know the Good Samaritan experiment, that experiment where they assigned people either a heavy list of things to do and a time commitment, or not a heavy list of things to do. And when people are in a hurry or have a demanding agenda, they are less apt to help someone in need, less apt to be flexible in their schedule and generous with their time. If trusting God more fully through simplicity or leaving more space on the margins of your life don't convince you to try the spiritual discipline of simplifying, maybe joy will help. We don't know each other very well yet, so here's a little peek into me. I'm a type A kind of person. Anybody out there also type A? Yeah, you know. A few people would very quietly raise their hand. I'm an oldest child. Anybody an oldest child? I'm the oldest daughter of an oldest daughter of an oldest daughter. My perfectionist recovery is pretty deep. Well, we type A's, we're super fun sometimes. But the rest of the time, we're worried about everything. Which is probably why on moving day, when I spotted a random glitter joy sticker floating around in the miscellaneous detritus of the day, I put it in my pocket. Remember, Jess, this is joy. Remember, this is joy. And throughout the day, as I was emptying back out my pockets of whatever I picked up room to room, you know, monkey hooks off the walls or little pieces of trash in a place that no longer has trash cans, or, you know, at one point, we found the top of the pepper grinder back in a corner in the kitchen now that everything else was cleared out. And so I'd take out all these things and sort or toss them, and I'd notice that little sticker sparkling in my hand. And it actually helped. It helped. Who doesn't want to be reminded of joy? "'Tis the gift to be simple," our Quaker siblings in Christ teach us. It brings love and delight. Simplicity helps foster joy in our lives. Professor Wes Daniels is the program director for Quaker Studies at Guilford College in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he reflects on some of these practices of simplicity of the Quakers. And he reflects on this through a series of queries through the West Coast Quakers. Each question is its own examination. Do I center my life in an awareness of God's presence so that all things take their rightful place? Do I live simply and promote the right sharing of the world's bounty? Simplifying our lives is often an issue of justice. Do I keep my life uncluttered with things and activities, avoiding commitments beyond my strength and light? Simplifying our lives is keeping our lives in line with the boundaries that God has already set. How can I maintain simplicity, moderation, and honesty in my speech, my manner of living, and my daily work? Do I recognize when I have enough? Is the life of our meeting, or for us, our church, so ordered that it helps us to simplify our lives as well? These are good questions to think about, the ways that simplifying our lives can bring space and margins and joy. The call to simplicity is a call to follow Jesus, after all, to live closer to the way that he himself gave us as an example, and the way that he calls us to be. Where in your life is it time to recognize that you already have enough? Where in your schedule is it time to simplify? Here's your Lenten invitation to open up space in your life, to pay attention to God more fully, and to trust more deeply, and to experience God's joy more completely. May it be so. Amen.